Hey, Teresa.
Hey, Marty.
Welcome to Disaster Digital, Season 4, Episode 3. We're coming to you live from Disaster Digital Studios in the basement on...
Solstice! Happy winter solstice!
This is the shortest day of the year, is that right?
Yeah, but it totally feels like yesterday should always be the shortest day of the year.
Oh, why?
Because reasons.
Our friend died. It was his death anniversary.
Also known as D-Day for us.
3 years.
Yes.
I have a confession.
What's your confession?
Yesterday, I went to the gas station. Well, it's not the gas station. I went to the cork and liquor thing. I got some Marlboro 72s.
Okay, that's fitting.
And I smoked some cigarettes and I drank some beer, which I'm actually... normally, I've been drinking tea during our recordings. And at this very moment, I am drinking an IPA. So, cheers
good.
To you, old friend.
Cheers, Grousage. I don't actually have a drink, but whatever. It's the thought that counts. Yesterday was totally a day where I wish I could turn off Facebook comments. That was a thing. Because sometimes you just want to do something and just let it be out there in the cosmos. And then everybody has to like comment on it. Like, why are you speaking a different language? I'm like, it's not for you. Go away now.
Both you and Brian, I think that was one of the first things that I saw when I woke up. I saw Brian posted a pretty fun poem. And then I saw you post the binary thing. And I, of course, went to a binary translator thing and switch it over. I was like, oh. And I had thought about posting something as well, but then I didn't. I was like, you know, I think they said what needed to be said. I can just ride on that and call it a day. I mean, it's a hard day. It's a hard time of the season.
Yeah.
Christmas, I'm not such a big fan anymore.
No, me either. And it's weird because I remember like when Josh and I first started dating, he hated Christmas. So I made it like my goal to make Christmas a thing he enjoyed again. And then that happened. And now we both fucking hate it again. It's like, never mind. I don't care anymore.
There's a lot of reasons to dislike Christmas. There's a lot of reasons to like Christmas as well. The Krause thing is certainly part of it because you can't avoid it. It's a fucking 20th, right? 5 days beforehand. Rocks your world, and then you have to go to these parties and just unwrap presents
and pretend it didn't happen. Like that first year was really fucking weird.
Right. People, if they know about it, they kind of pat you on the shoulder, and you're like, "You got a beer? If you don't have a beer, don't fucking touch me."
I'm like, "If you don't have a beer, a cigarette, or something fucking stronger, please get away from me."
And I also, with our whole minimalization kick that we've been talking about the past few weeks, you and I and Brianna and all that. I also feel like it's like Christmas is terrible. It's a terrible season. People buy things they don't need for people and people get things that they don't need from people. And it's great to have that feeling of giving, but I'm giving my, Brianna's Penny's husband, Kurt, one of my hiking buddies.
Yeah.
I'm getting him a donation. I'm donating to the Smoky Mountain Friends of the Smokies.
Yeah.
And I want to do that more. Like, I hate buying people things. If you want to, if it's touching, right? If it's personal, go for it. Emotional. But just don't buy me random shit.
Yeah.
I don't want random shit.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten, or at least the past couple of years, I see random shit I want to buy you guys, and I purposely go, dude, don't do that. Like, if anything, send them the link. Don't buy it, just send the link.
Right.
And then it's fine. Everyone enjoys it. If they want to buy it, they're welcome to do so. And the thought is still there. I saw this thing and thought of you. Without giving you an additional thing to have in your house.
I do, it pains me to say this, but I like and agree with Rob from work. And I don't think he listens to this anymore.
That is a hard thing to admit, though.
It is.
Although, he is kind of...
Krause-y.
Yeah.
But that
the closest equivalent we have.
That aside, like, this has nothing to do with that particular thing.
Okay.
But, and I don't think he listens to this anymore because I don't think he really likes me. I mean, it's not that he doesn't like me. It's just that I probably didn't nurture the friendship as much as was necessary.
Well, we suck at that.
Yeah, I still like him, and I think he still likes me. I just don't think that either side is putting forward effort genuine like, I think, because mm-hmm. I still like him, and I think he still likes me. Anyway,
okay. But he, let's not dwell too long.
He doesn't celebrate Christmas traditionally. Mm-hmm. Like, at work, we have lights and stuff that people put around our cubes, and he asks specifically not to have it. And mm-hmm. he has like a quote, you know, like the Grinch quote about Christmas being something more.
Mm-hmm.
And on one hand, I totally agree with him on a bunch of different levels. But on yeah. the other hand, I also have witnessed people stopping by his cube and talking to him about that. They don't talk to anybody else about their Christmas lights and how they love Christmas, but they will stop and talk to Rob about, why do you hate Christmas? Why are you such a Grinch? And it just...
But he likes those conversations.
I know.
He craves that shit. It's like Joe used to like starting arguments at work because he fucking loved it.
Yeah. And I don't want those types of conversations at work, really, because I enjoy working. But I agree with him, the principal.
I agree with him in principle, too. I would be more Grinch-like if I didn't feel like it would be a... you know, social push-off kind of thing, which is why I was the only one, other than, well, my boss did too, who participated in the ugly sweater thing today. I'm like, eh,
how ugly was
not?
Your sweater?
I had the same one Claudia did, so it was really just cute and loud because it had lots of bells on it. So every time I would move, you would hear me coming from a mile away.
And like, boom, boom. Mom,
not like that. Mom, it wasn't like tuba mom, plus mom. Bells. It was just bells. So,
oh, like Family Guy?
Not like Family Guy. Although, there have been occasions where I thought it would be kind of funny, like just very tongue-in-cheek, to have, since Josh used to play such or instruments, would be like, you know what, just once, just follow me and play something fucked up behind me. Just once, just to see what people do, because it will amuse me. And then we will never speak of it again. Because I'm that asshole.
That you are.
I'm okay with it as long as I'm doing it to myself. When other people do it, it does not as funny to me.
I don't know why this reminded me of that. Did you know that Hannah is going to be on NPR?
Yes.
Tomorrow.
Uh-huh. I don't know if I'll be able to catch her, but I'm hoping to.
On the radio, they gave a very vague time between fucking 5 o'clock in the morning and some o'clock at afternoon. I'm like, how am I supposed to... How do I know?
Maybe I'm hoping they have it on their website, and I'm assuming it'll be a conversation around probably two things. It'll probably be Have a Heart Day, because the official date for that just passed not too long ago, as well as her book. I'm assuming it'll be to those two things.
As in the official date was announced, or we missed the Have a Heart thing completely?
No, we talked about it.
Right. But it happened?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it is past. Now, there are events that take place year-round, but the, like, one day a year where it's... Well, that's where she does her big kind of marketing push for it has already passed.
I thought you said they were doing one at, like, Potter Park Zoo or something.
Yes, but that was not on the actual official day.
Okay. So that's in the future still?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, I thought we were talking about it in
the
future.
I'm going to have to check. That might have passed. We might have missed it.
Excuse me.
It's okay. But we might have missed it.
Oh, well.
The thought that counts, we'll try harder.
Right. We resolve to do better with volunteering efforts next year. Not because mm-hmm. it's a New Year's resolution, but no. because it's next year.
It's a life resolution.
Right. Guy at work today was asking me about like what I was resolving to do for the New Year's. And I was like, you know, I was kind of looking at my Habitica app and I was like, I have a lot of things going on right now. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to paint myself with that kind of brush.
Yeah. Like, don't let me in with you.
I don't need that. You know what I'm saying?
I don't need your labels. Okay. I have to ask, because what conversations are you having at work where people just ask you straight out, what's your resolution? Like, are people just bored? Is that just a jumping stone for conversation topics this time of year? No one asks me this kind of shit at work, like ever.
It's Brad. And
I don't know Brad.
Yeah. He's my cube mate where I live in a cube.
We kind of do. We're in our cubicles more than we're in our actual homes.
Fuck me. Fuck me in the goat ass. Yeah. He's the cube mate that I have that we share a window. So we get to look into each other's eyes longingly.
Yes, longingly and painstakingly.
He says to me, "So fabulous to see you today." He didn't say that, but
I think he should. That would be a nice way to start every day.
I think he knows on some level. I don't enjoy talking at work for the most part. If I'm working, he's the one person who can have my attention and not piss me off at the same time, because mm-hmm. he's already there. There's mm-hmm. nothing he can do about that. So I'm working and typing and he's talking to me, and he kind of knows that I'll respond better to more meaningful questions. Like if you ask me something stupid, I may just ignore you entirely. But if you ask me something that I might care to answer, mm-hmm. that's how it goes. So it's not, for me and him, it's kind of a normal conversation, because okay. he's an interesting person. He was homeschooled his entire life, and he has like a huge family, mm-hmm. a twin brother, and their names rhyme. They're like those parents.
Okay. I find those folks interesting, mostly because I like to corrupt them, but also because I like to hear about their perspective on things, since it differs so greatly from my perspective on things.
It probably wouldn't surprise you if you heard that he's going into programming, right? That kind of a background.
Not at all, because I worked with somebody else who was homeschooled, right, who went into programming, and I finished my degree online, so that's kind of like being homeschooled.
I don't think it's the same.
I was reaching there for that joke. Let's not go there.
But anyway, we have some really fun things to talk about this episode with DJ TM and MB on the mics, rocking some serious rhymes. We're going to be here all day,
all
night.
All I know is Shoop. That's all I can do. And actually, I rapped that this morning on the way to work. It was really fun. But I can only do it if the song's on.
I'd like to see a white girl
some
rapping
Salt-N-Pepa.
Shoop.
I basically just revert into the Ebonic-esque voice I tried to do in high school when I was trying to not be that Catholic school girl. It's bad. It's very bad. It's very racial appropriating. I don't like it.
I forgive you.
Thank you for forgiving me. I'm hopeful that everyone would forgive
Teresa,
me for being very, very white.
I forgive you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't actually have any like specific topics to talk about. So what do you got there, Holmes?
Oh, I the fuck do have some
Thank
specific
goodness,
topics.
Because I've got a list and that's about it.
I have so many topics. It's going to take me 5 minutes to think about which one to talk about. If we could just put everyone on hold in the digital world and go. Okay. I want to talk to you about, guess what I did this weekend?
What'd you do this weekend?
I did something that I have not done in a really long time. I binge watched the fuck out of a show.
Yay!
Yes. And I wanted to talk about that show. Not actually what happens, but just some... It's pretty thought-provoking.
Okay, because I think I know what show, and I definitely need you to talk about it without spoiling me. Because I have managed to stay spoiler-free somehow on this particular show, which is surprising for me.
I will not spoil thee. I will say that I love it. I love the show. It's called Westworld, HBO. Most people who are listening to this have probably heard about it.
And have probably watched all of it.
I'm going to give you the lowdown. Basically based on a 1970s movie, mm-hmm. and there's a park where there are robots that look like humans, and people, rich people, pay to interact with those humans,
mm-hmm.
or robots.
In any way they want.
Any way they want. They can shoot them, fuck them, kiss them, anything.
Dismember them. Really, whatever.
Right. So HBO, I think... The first thing that I think about TV shows wise when I think about HBO, I think of OMG, amazing quality,
mm-hmm.
boobs,
mm-hmm.
and then the music score. I already bought the soundtrack for
I have really
Westworld.
Been enjoying that, though.
It's good.
Thank you. It's rad.
It's excellent music. I fall in love with soundtracks, too.
Yeah, that's why I had to buy Stranger Things. Like, as soon as that show started, I'm going, yeah, I need the soundtrack,
oh, yeah.
like, immediately.
This is happening.
That's going to be a this thing for me to thing. Listen to while I program.
So, as much as I'll say about the plot is that nothing. I won't say anything more. I can say
well,
that...
Well, I watched the first episode. That's as far as I've gotten. I haven't watched any more yet.
Right. And I was on the fence until after the third episode, I think.
Okay, good to know.
I wasn't really drawn to any of the characters. It was an HBO show, so... And the topic was interesting. But... Beyond that, I was almost going to stop watching. And then Brandon went out of town.
Mm.
And I'm sitting on the couch naked with my thumb up my ass. And I'm like, fuck, man, you got to do something better than this.
Or at least something different.
Yeah. And then I tried to get my other thumb in there, like some
it's
double penetration.
Much.
Yeah.
It's
and
a
I was
bit
like,
much.
No, Marty, not that. Not that. So I removed the thumb from my ass, washed my hands.
I appreciate that you did that.
Yeah, I mean, I use my remote control for my Apple remote.
And so do I when I watch your dog, so I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, so got that going on. And I was like, fucking watch some Westworld. Brandon won't ever know. Because, you know, when we watch shows together, it's almost where shows go to die these days because she's so busy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm busy in a whole different way. Like, I'm a real boring job busy. She's like, I'm doing things with my life busy.
Yeah, well she's, you know, finishing a degree and getting ready for big tests and all kinds of
right.
shit.
So those two types of schedules don't mesh well together. Mm-hmm. If we were both like work busy, then we'd have, you know, every night potentially, but I digress.
It's okay.
So I washed my hands. I put on Westworld. I watched an episode and I was fucking hooked. I was mm-hmm. like, all right, this just happened. I am going to be in front of this TV mm-hmm. watching these episodes for the rest of the weekend. I watched two more episodes and then I text Brianna and I was like, hey, are you cool if I watch some Westworld without you?
You fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Because I already did.
Well, I didn't mention that, but I wanted to clear it, you know, to clear uh-huh. the air just in case.
Yeah. I do have a question for you. It's kind of, I don't know how spoiler-esque it's going to be, but I was reading the Wikipedia for the movie. And in the movie, there are apparently at least two, maybe three, other worlds other than Westworld. There's like a Roman-themed area and maybe a Grecian? I know there was definitely a Roman one in addition to Westworld, so there's actually different arenas people could quote-unquote play in. Does that come up at all in the show, or is it limited only to Westworld?
Only to Westworld.
Okay. Because I was curious because of just the... what I could see being sociopolitical commentary in that show. I was curious if they were going to, you know, like, have this overshot where you would see, like, here's Westworld, here's the Roman world, here's this other one. But maybe that's will be in a later season.
Right. This was season one, so they could branch out and have so many different parks and mm-hmm. ideas. And fucking A, man, I wish I could tell you the direction that season two is going to be in.
Okay.
Only
we'll talk about it when I get through it. I'll definitely watch it. Probably not this weekend, but I'll definitely watch it while I'm on my vacation.
Yeah, get to episode four. All I can say is that there's so much clarity that begins to happen. And the clarity makes you care about things. Mm-hmm. It's not really the story. It improves the writing that you think. The writing was always good. You just didn't know it was good.
Well, because they're setting the stage. And that's what I have to do with television series is very similar to what I've taught myself to do with books. With books, I give them 50 pages to get me interested. If after 50 pages I am not interested, I stop reading. With television series, I've learned I have to give it at least 3 episodes. If I'm not into it after 3 episodes, stop watching. Because I, as you know, I fall into way too many fucking rabbit holes and I can't keep up with shit. So that's my new rule, is you got 3 episodes. If you don't get me in 3, I'm done.
It's a good rule. I have a question for you.
Yes.
In regards to Westworld, because Westworld, like I said, made me think about things on some very deep levels.
Yeah.
This is not one of those things, but it's an interesting
okay.
question.
What's your question?
My question to you is, if a person goes to one of these worlds mm-hmm. and interacts with robots, does how they interact with those robots mm-hmm. say anything about who they actually are?
Josh and I totally already had this conversation after I watched the first episode, because I wanted to ask, because I watched the first episode and I think either that night or the next day I had asked him, you know, telling him, you know, basically what the general concept of the show was. I said, so if you went there and you just straight up murdered someone, you don't necessarily know if it was a robot or not, really, would that make you capable of doing the same thing in the real world? And I had said, even if I went to a place like that, I don't think I could take the quote-unquote life of another entity that looks human, animal, anything. I don't think I have that in me. it'd be interesting to find out if I do, but I don't, unless I was protecting someone else, I don't think I have that capacity in me. Like, I don't have that little deep, dark secret in there that wants to beat the shit out of somebody. Like, that's just not there. But I'm sure there's other people that do. But like, as you said, does that make them a bad person? Or does that just mean that they're, you know, exploring something that's a little darker, like some people do with sex? Like that, and that, we're cool with that, but are we not cool with this? There's all kinds of moral questions that I'm seeing coming from that series, which is what I'm going to enjoy the most, is the kind of, you know, what's the moral gray area? Are you really killing a living thing? Yes, no, since that living thing has memories.
I can say that they do explore the concept pretty deeply.
I want them to, because I haven't reached a personal conclusion about it, and Josh and I really didn't in our conversation either. Because like I said, like, you know, if he decided, if such a place existed and we went there and like he wanted to sleep around with a bunch of robots, I wouldn't personally give a fuck, because I don't care. But I wouldn't expect that to mean that he would want to cheat on me in real life. Like, it's a vacation. It's kind of a different thing. Because I'm sorry, if one of those looks like Johnny Depp, I'm on that in 5 seconds. Just saying. But I don't know. There's different realms to it.
I think we're crossing over into a couple different areas.
There it is. But that's very me to not focus.
So let's say, and they do in the park, they have a lot of different storylines in a lot of ways. It's it's like an RPG. So even a person who, like you, says, I just don't think I'd have the capacity to kill someone, right? You end up, you choose what kind of storyline you want to go on for the most part. Because there's a main city, which is relatively calm and safe, quote unquote. And the further you go out, the more dangerous it gets.
That's true.
So if they put you in situations where the robots, they can hit you.
Yeah.
They can't kill you.
They can't kill you.
But they can fuck you up. And if you have a gun, right, and you know that you can make it stop punching you in the face, you know it's a robot, you're going to pull the trigger?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be very situational, I think. It would have to be. It would have to be. Because I just, I don't see me being that asshole that gets off the train, pulls out a six shooter and immediately starts picking people off. Like, that's not my character at all.
True.
But, you know, if I end up walking into the saloon and, you know, some John is beating up a hooker, I might shoot that fucker. That isn't my character set.
And as much as I've thought about it, I think that there's a good chance going into a park like that and being a dick doesn't mean that you're an evil person, but I would probably lean towards a person who goes and does like really fucked up shit most likely has some fucking problems, and they're probably not a great person.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, just going out on a limb there.
Just going on a limb.
Right?
Just a little limb.
If you go into one of those places and you're surrounded by a bunch of robots that look like people and you kill one and shit in its mouth, that's not normal.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a line that has been crossed.
Like, wait, are you just not shitting into people's mouths because you can't kill them or because they won't let you? But another thing I wanted to expand on from that, because you had mentioned, I think we were texting when we first started talking about this.
Okay.
You said it's not too dissimilar from the video game conversation that we had today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you want to expand on that?
Okay. Would you remember what game I was even talking about?
I do not.
Was it Dead by Daylight? Was it something else? Or was it just a generic conversation? Now I'm trying to remember what all we had said and what we were talking about. I can't remember if I brought it up or if you had brought it up. It was probably me. Talking about how in regards to video games, especially over, I'd say, probably the last decade-ish ago. Well, how old is Grand Theft Auto now?
Is
that like 10, 15 years old now?
Or a junior, yeah, something
okay,
like
so
that.
So probably maybe even 15 years ago, where as games become both more realistic as well as theoretically more violent, there's such a huge set of people who believe that playing a violent video game results in a more violent human being. And I don't believe that for a second because of several reasons. Mainly my own experience in that I have played a plethora of very, very, very fucked up video games in my day. And I have not even been in a fistfight in my life. I don't feel the need to stab people. I certainly don't feel the need to drag hookers into my car and have sex with them and then run them over. Although that's really fun to do in the game. But there's that level of teaching human beings the difference between reality and fiction. And that's where what I find interesting in so many... Damn it, I need the interesting bell. That's what I find intriguing in a lot of different media is those shows that blur that line, or movies that blur that line, shows that blur that, books that blur that line, tend to be my favorite. And I'm wondering if that's not part of why, as I like things that kind of live in that gray area, more so than having the, you know, oh, well, if this, then this. No, I want to be over here. But, I mean, the violence thing, that's really the only comparison I have with it, is that there's such a huge backlash, especially on the GTA series and some other series, for being too violent, where I'm going, it's marked mature. If you're letting your 10-year-old play it, that's not on the developers. That's on you, man.
Right. And there are plenty of people in the United States who have emotional problems that could be affected by video games or television or their parents fighting or
the fucking news or virtually fucking
everything
anything
under the sun. I agree with you 100%. But I was
thinking,
I don't think
I worded all that very well. I was a little too all over the board, but whatever.
If they could have seen your hands, they totally would have understood what you're saying.
I know. My hands do most of my talking.
Fuck, we need to get like a video podcast going.
No.
Just where it sees your hands and then my face.
Maybe.
Okay.
That is your thought, though.
And then you can put your finger in my mouth.
Okay, but only once.
Anyway, I was thinking about that comment that you made. And how I didn't really agree with it, but I wasn't sure why. Like, it was on the tip of my tongue. I was like,
okay.
I don't feel like video games and this Westworld are the same thing. But why? Why, Marty? What the fuck are you thinking?
Because you're literally standing in it?
That's part of it. But I remember this term that I have read about before, the uncanny valley. Do you remember what that's about?
I do not. Refresh my brain. It will also help the listeners.
I think his name is Moosey or Moshi. Fuck, I can't. It's a concept that this guy came up with that says that people are, they become more sympathetic towards dolls, robots, video game characters as they look more human up to, and I'm just going to, don't quote me on these numbers, but just for example, up to like the 95th percentile, right? Once they get to that threshold, that 95% threshold, everything between 95 and say fucking 99.95, humans hate. They get irritated. Just being around it makes them not like it. They want to destroy it because it looks human, but it's obviously not human. And so
you can get like trigger some weird like threat perception in our little wormy brains.
I don't know. We'll have to read it more later. Yeah. I remember the concept and I was applying it to this because when we're playing video games, we have a lot better graphics, but in most cases, it's pretty obviously below that 95th percentile. And what Westworld is based on is the concept that they make that 99.9% because based on what he theorized, this Mushi Moshi guy, is that beyond that, you know, they are essentially human in our brains and we feel the same compassion for them that we do for other humans.
Or complete lack thereof, if you're a total psychopath.
Exactly.
Which, that reminds me of a book that's on my shelf I want to try to read while I'm off, which is called The Sociopath Next Door.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got that for $5 at Barnes & Noble. I'm excited.
That's a steal.
I know. And it's hardcover, too.
But to finish that thought, because we're coming up on the break here.
Okay.
It was very interesting to me just from a sitting back and watching the TV show perspective and thinking about all this, because you want to know something funny?
Mm.
The people in this show were actors.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, to the best of my knowledge, they're human. And as I was watching the show and being told that they were robots, those, I love me some tits. You know, mm-hmm. I love me some tits.
Yes.
And hot tits.
Even better.
Yeah, I'll take all tits, but there's a specific kind of tit that I probably prefer over other tits, but I digress again. My point is, I found myself ignoring the nudity.
Interesting.
Because there's a lot of robot nudity. They have a...
Yeah, there's tons.
And it's... I think that it fits because they don't want, like, the programmers to start associating them as humans, so they just don't want to treat them like pieces of equipment.
Uh-huh.
But, like, even as a viewer, like, that's how good the drama, like, the storyline sucked you in. I didn't even realize that I wasn't... Normally when I see tits, I'm like, fucking tits.
Yeah. So you got to where you weren't even sexualizing the robots anymore.
Not at all.
Interesting.
Right?
Very interesting.
And that makes me wonder if I could actually have sex with one of these robots in a place. Because I'm totally a person who would... in normal circumstances have sex with a hot robot, but I don't know maybe there is a line up that 99.95 percentile maybe. That my brain's like, hey,
I cannot get hard for this.
What? I don't know. Anyway,
interesting. On that note, shall we break?
We shall break. I'm gonna fill up my beer and you're going to...
I'm gonna stand up and stretch.
Suck on my ear. We'll be back.
You.
And we're back.
Don't ask what I'm doing.
Or are we actually back?
Are we
robots?
Could we be robots?
Is this robot
are we
me?
Human or are we dancer?
That reminds me of the Hannah commercial that they played on NPR.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm going to put some cumin on here. Like, we are cumin and we need to be loved.
That is my Hannah.
I was like, oh.
She's full of puns. All the puns, all the time.
That's sweet.
Yes. Which actually, I want to watch her latest video. She entitled it Me Versus My Period. And like half of the thumbnail is just regular Hannah. And the other half is like Hannah in a dark gray sweatshirt with the hood all up looking all like bad and forlorn. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to enjoy this. This will be amusing. So Hannah, yay.
Did you ever watch that other movie?
I still have not watched it because I'm waiting for you to watch it with me.
Oh, fuck, man.
What?
Why are we recording on a Wednesday and not
instead
a Thursday?
Of watching Dirty 30?
No. No, that's not the question.
What? Wednesday?
We forgot to tell the users. The users.
The users. Ha ha. No.
We forgot to tell our fair listeners that we're recording on a Wednesday.
Well, we said it was solstice. If they look at a calendar,
but
they can figure it out.
Why aren't we recording on a Thursday?
Because we're going to go see Rogue One tomorrow.
We are going to the classic American Charlotte, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Theater.
And we're going to see Rogue One.
Yes.
Do you think it'll sell out?
Well, it's been out like a week now, so probably not.
Right. And it's a small town thing.
Yeah. Plus, I did read something today, which I do want to share with you. Do you know that there was a large sect of Trump supporters who said to boycott Rogue One? I haven't read into the specific reasons why they thought that was a good plan. But I found that rather amusing. I'm like, well, for that reason alone, I think I need to go see it at least five times.
I did not hear about that. I read Will Wheaton's synopsis of it, and mm-hmm. that made me, I mean, it described everything that I love about like Stargate universe. So
right.
I was like, fuck yeah, of course I got to go see this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. And I like his analogy. Did you read that?
I did.
He was comparing the Empire to an empire,
mm-hmm.
and the rebels to rebels, and of course they're gonna fight the Empire,
mm-hmm.
and how he used to root for Darth Vader, and you know, now he sees the struggle from the rebel side,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, of course you can take it so many different ways, because
yeah.
a terrorist could be considered a rebel in the Alliance, mm-hmm. right?
It's all about perspective.
Yep. Perspective is everything.
Yeah. Well, that's where you and I started having the conversation about how media can be a reflection of a sociopolitical climate, which is where I started talking about horror movies, which reminds me, did you find any articles that you enjoyed with the horror movie thing, or did you kind of peter out on that because of Westworld?
I didn't peter out on it. It was one of those things. It was like an email that I got and I meant to mark it, mm-hmm. like as read again later, and then I didn't.
Okay. I will put that as another mental find shit for Marty to read about horror movies.
Yeah, I just used work email as a metaphor.
That, or I'm going to start making you watch some of them and be like, okay, this one is a commentary on this. This one is a commentary on this. Especially some of the classic ones. Although there are a few classic horror movies I have not sought out on purpose. Like, Cannibal Holocaust. I have no interest in seeing that since they actually kill a pig on screen and people get impaled through the asshole. Like, I'm not into that. Human Centipede. I have no fucking interest in seeing that movie at all. there are certain sects of like just gross for the sake of gross that I'm not down.
I feel you.
I'm not down. But yeah.
So can you theorize? Not to jump back a couple other topics. Can you theorize why you think that Trump supporters might have wanted to boycott it?
Based on what I know of it, considering it's the story of how they got the plans for the Death Star to destroy it, since it is a rebel sect, which often could be considered, you know, like your hippies and your liberals taking down a dark force in the world. It's that, and there's a female protagonist. I'm sure there's a large sect of people that don't like that. I don't know. I feel like I'd be reaching for anything, and I want to look at the article before I jump to conclusions that may be inaccurate.
Do you know what's amazing to me?
What?
That, like, being a woman is basically considered being a minority.
Yeah, weird, right?
Yeah, aren't there more, by percentage, women than men?
Yes. I think currently there are still more by percentage females in the world than males. I also find it interesting, and this is something I got to thinking about when I was reading an article on a site that I have on my list to share with you, talking about Rogue One, and that you have, in this movie in particular, this is kind of the eyes I'm going into it with, yes, you have a female protagonist, and that's fucking rad, but she's white. Why isn't she something else? Why has she got to be white? And then I got to thinking about some other things that have been bothering me lately in terms of casting choices. And I don't know if you're familiar with the anime Ghost in the Shell.
I am not.
Okay, that's an anime. And Akira is another one that my brother and I watched when he was like in high school. And it's an anime, but they cast Scarlett Johansson as the main character. Why? It's another one of those weird casting choices that I go, okay, so are you trying to say that people who can afford to go see movies are only going to go see a movie if it's a white chick in it. That's real dumb.
Wait, that's where you're going with the Rogue One thing too?
No, that's part of what I'm thinking about. Because looking at that film and the character set there is, even looking at the poster, you have Jyn Erso, and then you have a whole bunch of dudes. Even the robot is a dude. And I'm like, okay, so are there any other women in this movie that are going to be actively participating in this storyline? Or is Jyn Erso being used as kind of just a... like, oh, see, we had a female protagonist that's not just in a bikini. This is cool. This is okay, right? Because I feel like that so many movies have a tendency to be like, well, we gave you this character. Why are you complaining about things? Where I go, I just want to get to the point where casting choices are made not just to meet like a certain quota or to meet some type of, oh, well, this person came from here, so they stereotypically must look like this. Like, maybe just pick the person who does a really good job in the screening test, no matter what the fuck they look like. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, just be characters. Like, I'll believe anybody is anything, really. It's not buzzing. It's fine. Quit looking at my phone like it's ruining everything.
No, I was trying to figure out if it was still in airplane mode.
It is.
Okay.
It's just daily reminder.
It's Hibitica going, do your shit.
It's Hibitica yelling at me to do shit.
I think about that stuff too, though, just to interrupt you for a quick second.
No, you're fine. Because I feel like I'm derailing and I'm not explaining myself very well or very accurately.
You're in a very good rail. I actually want you to keep railing me after I talk.
No.
So, what I think about is very, it's a lot more superficial than the depth that you're talking about.
Mm.
Because when I see commercials and TV shows and things like that, and I see the casting, I pay attention to what races they have, right? Like, how many Hispanics, how many black people, how many, and it, not because I care, but because I'm curious. We're talking, I only pay attention in mainstream shows, like ABC, Fox, shit like that.
Yeah.
HBO, I didn't think about it once, like watching Westworld.
Well, because I think HBO series, actually most paid cable series, I think do a better job with diversity off the bat anyway. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because that they're such...
We choose them specifically.
And they cater to a smaller audience for the most part.
Right. But if you don't like it, you will stop paying the additional money. Like, right. For ABC and Fox, we currently don't have a choice. Like,
no.
we're paying them. We don't... Just by existing, we're paying them money.
Well, but the things that get put on TV... And actually, I've got a good example of a new show that came on this year that I couldn't even sit through 2 seconds of. But it says something to me about the general American audience, the kinds of things that are on ABC, CBS, NBC that do well versus the things that don't do well.
Right.
That always says
something
to
me. Two Broke Girls?
Yeah, like Two Broke Girls has been on for fucking ever. And I love Kat Dennings. I think she's adorable. But the way that they treat that poor Asian guy at the diner, and my parents love that show, so I've watched it with them a couple of times.
Right, of course.
And I look at that and I'm going, how is this any better than how, what is that comedian's name? The guy who played the landlord in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, how is that any better? It's not. Like, why can't he just speak like a normal person? Why do you have to make him a caricature of a race? That's so dumb.
But that's actually what I was getting to with my previous point, in that I don't care what the races are, or the minority breakdown, whatever.
Right.
But in my head, I'm trying to figure out what their point is. Like,
right.
Two Broke Girls. Oh, two attractive chicks, an Asian guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not just a white show. They have... this.
Well, but look at how the two female characters are put in too. You've got the little blonde rich girl and the tough as nails New York dark haired girl. Like, those are caricatures too.
Right. And
it feels really dumb.
Remember when I said I took it a very superficial level?
Yeah, I don't do that.
I'm just telling you. Like, I try to figure out where the different, how they're trying to market it. Right. And if it's an all white family, then I'm thinking, okay, well, that is marketed towards white people.
Okay.
And if it's an all black family, I think, okay, that fucking is marketed for black people. And if they try to do something in between, I'm like, is this legitimate,
or are they just trying
to pander? Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I needed to finish that thought because I really wasn't clear.
Sorry about
the race
that.
Thing. No, yeah. You're good.
Yeah, but that's something that's always bothered me. Like even with series that I still watch, like Big Bang Theory, I really loved that series when it first started because the level of humor was so intelligent. And I mean, it's gotten slapstick and stupid as fuck, especially over the last 4 or 5 seasons. Yet I can't stop watching it because I'm invested in these goddamn humans and I want to see what happens to them now. Fuck. But I've been bothered for at least 3 seasons now, maybe more than that, of how they've treated their 3 female characters, Penny, Bernadette, and Amy, because they're all caricatures. They still treat Penny like she's a fucking idiot, even though she's a really successful pharmaceutical rep now. Bernadette was, you know, talked so long about, you know, not wanting to have kids, and like she's the breadwinner in that relationship, and they just had a kid this past week, and I'm going, what happened to the part where she didn't want kids? Why does everyone erase that? Why? And then Amy, they just make her this sex-starved, like, you know, sheltered girl, and that's still something that happens, and yet I'm watching it. I still watch it.
Can we take a couple steps back?
Yes, because I'm falling to pieces here.
I need to dissect a couple of the things that you said here.
Okay, go for it.
First of all, I want to say,
it probably wasn't that intelligent of humor off the bat, but you know, it's more so than it is now. At least it had some scientific and nerd culture stuff.
Calm down. You have to defend yourself before
you
can start talking.
Yeah, I kind of did, because I felt like that was not the right thing for me to have
said. I'm not going to attack you, but what I am going to say is that I hated the Big Bang Theory originally.
That's all good. It's fine.
Why did I hate it? Because the jokes that they were telling, the things that you think are intelligent, right?
The sciencey stuff, not the nerd stuff.
Okay, and I'll get to that. But the things, the other types of jokes, like the nerd types of jokes,
yeah,
they're real. They're picking on things that actually exist. And I thought that they're picking on me. It's like basically someone saying, hey, dude, you know, your curly hair is ugly.
Everything you love is stupid.
Yeah. You're dumb. Like, oh, you play Warcraft, so you must be this type of person. Mm. Or you love Star Trek, so you must be this type of person. And I mean, it was kind of offensive to me. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I got over myself and I enjoyed it. I do enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But
it's very pigeonholy.
Let's take another step to where you said that Penny
totally
is a successful pharmaceutical rep. Just the idea that you are saying that she's successful because she's a pharmaceutical rep, I'm guessing is based on her making money.
More than Leonard currently.
Right. And that's, I'm just going to point out that you're calling that a measure of success. And then the basis of the show is a bunch of people who have masters,
mm-hmm.
doctorates, and therefore are more intelligent than the rest of the world as a basis of success.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you on this train of thought.
And obviously, it's easy for me to say that I don't think that's necessarily true because I don't have a doctorate, even though I would love to keep going to school and get a doctorate.
If it didn't cost so much goddamn money.
But, you know, the difference between doctorate me and me right now is pretty significant, probably mm-hmm. as significant as non-bachelor me and bachelor me. But my point is, I also don't particularly care for those measuring sticks of success. And it's mm-hmm. not the Big Bang Theory I'm picking on.
No, I get you.
It's just Claudia and I were actually on a walk and this kind of jingled my bell from that conversation.
Yeah.
Claudia is someone I work with. And she has a friend who is a pharmaceutical rep
uh-huh.
in like California, and he makes boatloads of money. And she always likes to refer to him as, you know, such a successful person.
Okay.
And whenever she says something like that, I don't argue it because defining success with one of your work friends doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But
well, I think it's a personal journey because it's just a personal journey. It just is.
Yeah. But between you and I think we can have the conversation on what it means to be successful and what we envisioned as successful when we were, say, mm-hmm. in our 20s is not
mm-hmm.
necessarily
Mm-mm.
the same picture as today.
No.
You would agree with that?
Absolutely.
And it's, yeah, not just the Big Bang Theory. All TV shows have these weird American dream type success stories that they are true. People like that do exist, but it's not quite as black and white.
Yeah.
As I would say.
Well, and to be entirely honest, because I tend to go towards some pretty deep, dark, thinky shit when I really get into television shows, like my murder shows and things like that. Big Bang is one of those, like, this is just stupid, silly bullshit humor that I throw on when I go to sleep at night. Like Steven Universe, I fucking love. Adventure Time, love. Bob's Burgers, love it. These are all my sleepy time shows.
Did I tell you I started
watching
Adventure Time?
You probably hate it, don't you?
No.
You love it? Do you love it?
It's fucking crazy as shit.
I love
yeah.
it so much.
I watched like the first 6 episodes and I was like, what the fuck is happening?
That's all but here's the thing. Adventure Time is one of those cartoons, much like Steven Universe, that I have found more enjoyment on my second and third time through the episodes than I did the first time. Because the first time with both of those series, I'm just sitting there going, what the fuck am I watching? What is this? And then the second time I watched it, I catch that Lady Rainicorn speaks some, you know, Asian language. And I'm like, what? And then I catch new jokes I didn't catch the first time around. And I go, I love this so much more.
Yeah, I wanted to be drunk or something, just like watching it. I think the first episode was something about these zombie yep. things.
Yeah.
And like
slumber party panic.
Yeah. It was just... It was ridiculous and engrossing at the same time. Yeah. I was like, what's next?
You broke the royal promise.
Yeah. What?
Like, why? What? Huh?
I would love, do you know, what's the backstory behind that show?
Adventure Time?
Yeah.
Who are the writers? It's the brainchild of Chad Pennington, who doesn't work on it anymore. Our dear Ash Birch from Hey Ash, What You Playing? She writes for that show now.
Really?
As well as, I think she did a comic, too, for this show. I should find
that. That would be fun, to write some fan fiction for that show, because yeah. it could be really anything.
Okay, and actually, there is an episode, I want to say it's in season 3, because the Ice King actually writes fan fiction, where he gender flips everybody, and that's an episode.
Nice.
It's fucking rad. It's so good. It's so good. Fiona and Cake instead of Finn and Jake.
I know we don't get together and just watch random shit anymore, but I would love to have like a Marty, Teresa, even uh-huh. Josh and Brianna if they yeah. wanted to be a part of it. But just like watch maybe 5 or 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I have more gems that I've hidden.
Yeah.
I have more, not TV shows, but movie gems that I keep going like, you should watch this. And then I know you haven't. So.
Well, for two people who live a mile apart, it actually shows how difficult it is not to get together, mm-hmm. but to get together for things like that. Because if you're watching shows and you're socializing, then chances are you're not doing something else that you should probably yeah. be doing well, or want to be
and
doing.
And if we're socializing, we're not necessarily watching the show either.
Right.
Because we do have a tendency to start talking about stuff in the show, and then we have to pause the show and talk about the stuff and then play the show again.
Right. We'll have to do that.
Yeah.
And of course, during the holidays, when we have the most time off, we have the least time to actually hang out with each other.
Well, and we have the least amount of days where we're actually off at the same time, because I'm taking the week off after New Year's, and I think you're taking next week, right?
No, I'm working,
you're working
straight through.
Okay.
I'm just saying, my holidays that I get, the holidays that you get, we
yeah.
have, you know, we work the same place, basically.
Yep.
We get the same holidays, but we don't have time.
Nope. Obligations and shit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The blood family.
No, but there is... there's definitely one movie I can think of off the top of my head that I'm sure you haven't watched yet, even though I bought it and it's in my iTunes library. Repo: The Genetic Opera.
Never heard of it.
I really want you to watch that with me.
Wait, you bought it on Apple?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And as well as The Devil's Carnival and Alleluia, The Devil's Carnival.
We're going to have to make a list.
I will make a list and I'll be like, okay, I'll create a to-do list in the family sharing of movies Teresa wants Marty to watch, and we can check them off as you watch them.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll show you. But I mean, those are some I'd like to watch with you because
Pitch Black on sale.
There's a fuck ton of stuff on sale. Have you been getting the notifications
yes.
on Cheap Charts? Holy balls. Yeah. I bought all of Archer. I bought all of Bob's Burgers that's out so far, except for the most recent season, because it's still like $30 and I can't fathom.
Yeah, I just had to drop
like
that in there.
$30 for a series? No.
Fuck you.
No. Like $20? $14? Fucking sure. You can have my money. $30?
Why not?
No. I have standards.
You have crossed the line.
You have crossed the line. I will. Yeah, but every day I'm getting all these notifications for all this shit that's on sale. And I'm like, I don't have any iTunes money right now. Why are you doing this to me? Because I just spent like $200 on iTunes shit in the past 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, I bought the soundtrack and I bought some other movies. But yeah. Pitch Black, I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of my top
that's a good one.
10 must-have movies that I have not had.
That's a good one.
But anyway.
I also got the Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack.
Ooh.
So if you want to give that a listen.
Do you have any Christmas movies in your Apple library?
In Apple library, I don't think I do. I don't think so. I think I've digitized some stuff.
You still have a tradition of watching Garfield.
Garfield? Fuck yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do that on Saturday. Do you want to come over?
Christmas Eve?
Uh-huh.
What time?
I'll text you before I feel like watching it.
Well, aren't you going to be, like, in Jackson or anything Christmas Eve?
Christmas Day is when everything's happening. So Christmas Eve, we're going to be at home.
So Christmas Eve, I would love to, but
you're not going to
be
home.
I don't know when we'll be home. See? See?
God,
see how this goes?
Damn it.
Yeah. I miss you already.
Well, because I did watch, you know, I watched the Halloween. I watched Thanksgiving. I got to watch Christmas. That's my thing.
No, I know.
It's the Garfield, man.
Big ups to you, fool.
Got my Garfield in.
I feel like, so we're coming close.
Are we getting close
to the end here?
Okay.
And we kind of touched on this a little bit in the other part.
Yeah.
In that we haven't heard anything back to talk about volunteering
yes.
stuff. The places that we sent into, we haven't heard anything and we haven't really put as much effort into it as we're planning to.
I haven't applied anywhere else but Haven House, have you?
No, but I wanted to make it sound like maybe we had.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean
I
to call us out, but I figured we might as well be honest.
Yeah.
I gave to the Capillary Humane Society through our tree at work, but I feel like I really didn't do very much giving this season as I would have liked to. I think the election really kicked me to like throw some money at it, and then I've kind of waned from that since, so I'd like to be more consistent in my giving and of my monetary donations as well as my time.
And
mostly the time thing, because I feel like that's a little bit more valuable, really.
It is. It's unique. They both have value. Definitely. But it's more unique. It's difficult to say what's worth more, because different organizations, you know, want different things. But where was I going with this? Just in that we are still planning on doing more. We have not given up. We're still working towards being better people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Always. It's a continuous struggle to be better humans.
Yes. Better humans through action, better humans through thought, better humans through conversation. Mm. And then you look pretty, like always. So you're a better human in that way. And I just look scruffy and I'm a better human that way.
You are so full of shit, but thank you.
Yeah. How much money do you spend on makeup?
Not much. I've been spending a little bit more lately because kiddo wanted some lipsticks from this vegan company, so I bought a couple and now I'm obsessed with them and I want more.
Vegan lipstick?
Yeah, it's Jeffree Star Cosmetics. He kind of like Kat Von D has a vegan makeup line he's starting, but he's got these he calls them velour lipsticks that are vegan and matte, and so they dry on your lips and they stay really well. And I wore one to Kurt's party and no one noticed or even cared to tell me that I looked okay, so I don't think I'm ever gonna wear that one again. I don't know. I'm an eyeshadow
time
person.
Out. Yeah, have I ever said, hey Teresa, your makeup looks stunning today?
Thankfully, no, because I'd prefer you just not even fucking mention it.
And I don't know
because there are a lot of days I'm just experimenting with what's happening up here, and all I ever usually wear is eye makeup anyway. So
I'm not gonna say that you're like a robot to me.
Oh, you're not.
But you kinda are like a robot to me.
Okay. Well, I'm just a main fixture in your life, and that you don't notice different things.
Yeah, I hold you at a certain level, and I don't take it much further beyond that. Right?
That's
like,
okay.
I'm interested in your brain. Like, if you put makeup lipstick on your brain, I'd be like, oh my God.
Your brain has pretty stuff on it.
It's so cute. How do I get some of that? But
no.
I don't. I mean, I notice your hair most of the time.
Yeah, that's the thing that changes the most often, because I get bored.
Right. And one thing I've learned is that when you spend time and money on your hair.
It's a lot.
Well, it's nice to like have it be noticed. It's one thing to not have lipstick noticed, but if you change something dramatically in your hair and nobody says anything, that's kind of fucked up. Yeah. So I do try to notice the big things. But eyeshadow and all that, I'm like,
Okay, so here's the thing. I was being really facetious in that because I am not one of those women who really gives a fuck if anybody notices anything different when it is. I don't really care. I don't do it for other people. It's for me. You know, it's all for me. I don't give a fuck what other people have to say about it.
You know
it.
What's crazy?
What?
One of my...
What?
Do you like it?
No, we're not. Nope. Finish your thought. Stop being Stop it.
I can't just stop. No. I need to complete.
I'm going
to
yell at you like I yelled at the cat. No. No.
Okay. That works for some reason. I don't know why.
It's the stern mom face is what it is.
And the voice. It's kind of chilling.
No.
But I am going to, one of my to-dos in Habitica is to get my eye prescription filled. So for the first time ever, I will have reading and nighttime glasses.
Oh, Seth, I thought you only needed reading glasses.
By the by, I just finished book number 17.
They want to go to warbyparker.com and get some glasses that are awesome like mine.
I don't know if I can rock that. I need to take it slow.
These are awesome. I thought I was going to hate these and I fucking love them.
I don't know that I have enough of personality for that.
Like, you think I have enough personality for these glasses?
You've been rocking glasses for a long fucking time. True. This is... I'm a virgin in the ways of glasses. Okay,
well, we'll go slow.
Right.
And then do crazy dork rooms because they're great.
I want to start with some small glasses that fit, you know, nicely. Mm-hmm. And then it can get bigger and bigger.
Okay.
And so fucking big.
And he's gone to the dark place
again.
But
they cover my eyes perfectly and I can read. What's dark about that? Mm. We should end it right there.
No, I had a list.
You have a list?
Yeah. You forgot about my list.
Oh, let's list it.
Well, because... All right.
You know...
So, you and I...
I didn't... Did we get off topic somewhere?
No, we didn't, because we didn't really have a topic. We were just winging everything. Oh. But I wanted to make sure we went through this so I could delete it off my phone.
Oh, let's do it.
So, I've been sharing, oddly enough, and you caught this. I didn't even realize that I had done this. It was kind of a subconscious thing. I've been sharing articles with Marty this week as I was catching up on shit.
That's
through
me.
Marty. When I was catching up on shit in my RSS feed, because I've gotten way behind. I'd just been saving a bunch of stuff and hadn't actually read anything yet. And a lot of the ones that I shared to you were from The Big Think, which led you to question me, where do you find all these articles? Share some of the places you get your shit from with me. So I made a list of some of my favorites for you and the listeners, and I will put them in the show notes, or I will put them in my teases tidbits section, whichever you prefer.
You should put them in the show notes. I was actually going to tell you that because I'm terrible at show notes. So
you want me to do them?
I mean, I certainly wouldn't. I think you should help because I'm terrible. I
mean, I'll help.
Should help, but I'd love for you to help.
I don't always remember everything we actually talked about or stuff that I referenced, but at least I have a list this time and I can totally remember to put that in there.
Yeah. I listened to it once before I even posted it and I can't remember the fucking shit to post.
God damn it, Maria.
Anyway.
God damn it.
Go ahead.
Okay. So one of them is obviously The Big Think. I don't remember how I found that website, but it is a website that covers a variety of subjects, usually at a more philosophical level, in addition to factual information like news, which is one I really enjoy. I think one of the articles I sent you was how religion affects the brain similar to drugs. Is that one of the ones I sent you this week?
Yeah, we don't have enough time to talk
yeah,
about
we don't
that.
Have time to talk about that, but there were some very intriguing topics that were covered that I sent over to Marty that they'd done over the past several months. Another one I like that I actually started following when we got to that point where regular news was really depressing and we didn't want to fucking deal with it anymore, called Upworthy. Upworthy is a site who does provide news information, but it's always uplifting and positive stories. And that helps on a daily basis because it's like, it's kind of like my cute overload of the day where I get to look at cute little animals instead of how shitty everything is. And it gives me hope that humanity isn't full of complete and total useless morons.
So it's kind of like the news version of Shih Tzus of Instagram.
Yes. Yes, very much so. You get, you know, nice uplifting tales of humans being good to other humans and how you can help and things like that. And I enjoy it.
That's one thing I want to drop out there to our listeners. If you're ever in a bad mood, just download Instagram if you don't have it and just search Shih Tzus.
Yep.
You will smile.
Or French Bulldogs or actually any animal that you like that makes you happy, just search for that. Or if you want to look at boobs, you just look for boobs. Like, literally type in anything that makes you happy and there will be pictures, because people use all kinds of hashtags on that shit. You can type full sentences as hashtags and there will be at least one or two people who have done that.
What if you hashtag shih tzus and boobs?
You know what? Try it. I'm sure something will come up.
All right. We'll report on that next time.
Something might happen. Who knows?
Okay.
This is a more recent find that I had, which was actually via Twitter, thanks to Carrie Fisher, Miss Leia herself. She does a column for The Guardian called Advice from the Dark Side. So I have enjoyed that. She doesn't publish very often. I think it's like a once a month article, but I have enjoyed it.
What does she write about?
The last one she got was someone who had been recently diagnosed as bipolar, asking for advice on how to deal with that diagnosis. Carrie, I believe, is also bipolar and has been on medication for a number of years. And she talked about that and just accept it. It's part of you. You deal with it or you don't. It's just kind of how it goes. It's very no nonsense, no bullshit kind of advice column. And it's Carrie Fisher. So I enjoyed it. And it actually has pushed me to want to read her books. So I'll get to that eventually.
Cool.
One of these days. Another one I followed for a long time that I actually started following because of Offbeat Bride is Offbeat Home, which is a website that has a lot of tiny home information.
Nice.
And not always, because sometimes it's more about being an offbeat parent, like not your traditional parenting styles and not your traditional living styles. There's been articles on there with polyamorous families talking about how they divvy up household chores and things like that. So it's a very all-encompassing website. There's a lot of different things they talk about, and I don't always read everything they post, but there are times where things like the polyamorous couple, I'm like, that intrigues me, I want to read that. So that's a fun one to find. A lot of times on there too, they'll just have like, oh, here's these really fun cat measuring cups, because that's not a standard thing people would have in their kitchen. So I mean, it varies content wise but sometimes
maybe. People sometimes love cats for some fucking reason.
Sometimes there's some really good shit on there.
Time out.
Yeah,
how far the list are you?
I have three more left.
So if we go over all of these now,
yeah,
you're throwing a lot out there, people.
Not that much.
I'm just saying.
They can handle it. They can handle every inch.
I expect notes.
I have notes. I even wrote down like little explanations for each website.
No, I mean, yeah, like send it to me or put it in.
I will.
Because I want to look at these and I'm listening to them.
I think
now,
you'll enjoy
and
them.
And I've already forgotten, like, not the first one because I know that one, but the second one.
But the second one, I'm sorry.
I'm fucking hazy as shit.
So the last three are more feminist outlets that I've gotten into lately. Some of them can be a little bit what I would consider a little militant, so take it with a grain of salt, but I still think it's good, valid information, and they do still share some really good stuff that I wouldn't have read about otherwise. And that is Everyday Feminism, Bitch Media, and this one I do follow quite a bit because everything they talk about is nerdy sci-fi media, and that is the Mary Sue. That's one I read a lot of, and that's actually where I had read that article about Rogue One being, oh no, that was Everyday Feminism. Yeah, that was Everyday Feminism because it was a feminist mother's guide to Rogue One, and that's where it was talking about.
Let's do a little role playing.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you going to call me out on my feminist bullshit again? Is this going to be a thing?
What? I don't remember doing that ever.
Okay.
All right. I'm some dude.
Oh, good. And my favorite.
You're you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm just some guy. I'm at a coffee house. I'm sitting at a table by myself,
mm-hmm.
and you're waiting for your coffee,
mm-hmm.
and you want, for some reason, to tell me why I should check out those last three websites.
Yeah.
Go.
This is where I fail, because I'm really... I can't.
One thing.
Because every time you tell me it's some guy, you know what I picture? I picture some fucking dude bro asshole.
Okay.
And that's not good either, because that's just stereotyping people, and that's fucking wrong, and I shouldn't do that. But all I picture is like the scary thing, and the scary thing to me is dude bro.
Okay. Maybe I'm not some guy. Maybe I'm Kurt from work.
Kurtikins.
Okay. how would you approach him? Say, hey, you should check this out.
I would probably look, and actually I'd probably do this for anybody, so let's just encompass it in that. I would try to, I would have to think of an article from each one that I think the person would find interesting. And then I would say, hey, this probably isn't a thing you would normally seek out, but I think you should really read this. It's got some good perspective on it. That's probably where I would leave it, because after that, it has to really be up to the person whether or not they'd want to read more from an outlet like that or not. Because, like, I wouldn't necessarily just go up to someone I've never met and go, hey, you should really read this article about trans rights. Because how many random people, especially in the town we live in, if I go say, hey, read this article about trans rights, aren't going to be like, no, you need to get out of this town.
You know, it's funny about that.
You know, but that's some of the things that they write about. And that's interesting to me, because that's something I hadn't thought about in my brain pan before.
I'm on board with that. And if some girl just came up to me and told me I should read something about trans rights, I would still think, like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why are you talking to
me? But if I posed it more as a, hey, this website really does a lot of stuff about nerd culture, and they just wrote this article about the feminism in Rogue One. You should probably check it out. That might get you a little more in there, but probably not.
It would appeal to very specific types of people.
Yeah. And that's the only thing I find unfortunate with at least everyday feminism, because most of the articles they post, you really have to already be someone who's in a very feminist worldly mindset to seek out and read it and not be immediately kind of taken aback by it, because they can be very harsh in how they word things in terms of how they speak about the other side of the argument. And that's where I think that they don't do the best job of things. I still get good information from what I read, especially when they post things that are YouTube videos for YouTubers I hadn't found before. And I enjoy listening to those voices, but it's that, you know, immediate shutdown and harshness of the other side that I think turns me off a little bit to wanting to believe everything they say and really be like, yeah, I'm on board too. It's like, but you're being an asshole. That doesn't help. Like, you can say things and not be an asshole. That's what they do. Don't do that.
Too true.
So I'll put the list up, and I'll try to find maybe one article from each that I've enjoyed over the past week, and y'all can check them out.
All right. So people listening to this probably won't know, but this is the longest episode.
I'm sorry, I overspoke.
You didn't overspeak. And it's funny, because we went in thinking that we didn't have anything to talk about. And
I know.
Here we are.
Oops.
70 minutes later.
Oops.
I did it again.
I don't remember. Wait, it was a little. Was some little like heart dance she used to do. I don't know.
Do you know there's like an unsanctioned video, like movie about her life?
Is there really? Yeah. Already?
Yeah.
Because of the head shavy thing in 2007?
No, just her whole life. Because she's fucking popular and people will watch it.
People will watch anything.
People are people, so what do you say? You must hate me. Alright, let's end it on that. I'm excited.
I'm excited to see Rogue One tomorrow.
I'm excited.
I heart Star Wars things, except for the
to have
equals,
spent
because they
time
suck
with you.
But I like spending time with you too, but I'm also excited for Rogue One tomorrow.
No, I know what your real feelings are. In your hierarchy of desires, it's Star Wars, Marty. That's cool.
I'm
Star Wars has been around longer.
I feel like I failed as a friend.
All right, until next time.
Yes.
We'll see you in the new year.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Bye 2016.